No, this is in Philly.
Philadelphia. This was in Philadelphia. So anyway.
Whose ships were they that you were putting the medical supplies on?
These are Israeli ships.
Were Israeli ships. Yeah, little
small,
ones. Mm-hmm.
Small ships that were going in to
Haifa.
Yeah, they had to go in shallow waters.
So right.
And unload. There was no harbor. They had no harbor, no port. And this was, they would transfer and take it into shore that way.
Do you remember about what year that was that you were shipping? No.
No, well, okay. I know it was before Israel was a nation.
It was before.
Yes, mm-hmm. It was before Israel was a nation. Mm-hmm. And I can find the date.
Yeah, that's true.
It had to be probably around 46,
47. Bill Silk, yeah, that's the guy. And, Bill Silk was the one in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but that wasn't the best part of it. The best part of it was that they start shipping train loads of dynamite. And of course, dynamite was not strange to me,
mm-hmm.
because I had done some work on the demolition of bridges and piers and rivers here, and I was used to handling dynamite, so I knew that it was safe to handle it in certain ways. And to make a long story short, they shipped trainloads of dynamite, and I loaded trainloads.
Onto the ships
that came in. And I wondered what they were going to do with all the dynamite that they were. I had no idea, but I found out. Anyway, to make a long story short, the war did break out when they all were going to drive the Jews all back.
Right, into the sea.
Back into the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And they came up, and then all of a sudden, these dynamite explosions took place all over, and they were all sent out and targeted so that they could set them off, and then they just ran. They dropped their weapons and they ran in terror, and the more they ran, the more dynamite was.
Yes.
And they just, and that's how they got them back. That's what the dynamite was used for.
So actually you were helping them prior to becoming a state with medical supplies as well as other necessities.
Did you go to Palestine then yourself?
Yes, I was invited to go. Uh-huh. And I went with a man called Bartley Crum.
Oh.
I don't know if you
He was in the government, Bartley Crum. He was well known.
He was, Bartley Crum. I was asked me if I would go with him to Israel, and I said yes, I went, because I'd be happy to go. So we went into Israel. I went to Israel with Bartley Crum.
Wasn't he an ambassador?
He was a man that was appointed by Truman, a good friend. Was appointed to with the French and what was the other one? The French and Italians over there. Each one selected whether Israel should be recognized as a nation, and he was selected to represent
from America.
Yes. And he said, yes, that should be recognized. Israel should be recognized as a nation.
What was his purpose in taking you? Do you know why he invited you to accompany him?
Well, he knew what I had done in the way of shipping this stuff into the port. And I wanted to go.
Good, sure.
I thought, maybe I can help more over there. But it was a very, was an interesting trip. But what happened was, in those days, the Knesset was in the harbor down close. It wasn't in Jerusalem.
I see.
And we landed there. And went into the Knesset, which was in session, and I forget who was at the podium.
Could have been Ben Gurion. He was there at the time.
I think it was Ben Gurion, if I'm not mistaken. And he happened to look up. And when I came in with Bartman Crump, and he saw him come in, and he called a halt to the services.
Really?
And he motioned to come down to us up in the balcony. So we came down and we met all of them back there, and they broke for tea, you know. They welcomed because he had been one to say recognize his roots. And
you had been helpful to them.
And I was right there with them.
Right.
So they knew of me, knew me, and they knew me, actually.
That must have been a beautiful experience for you.
Yeah, well, it was. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you, it was wound up a disappointing experience.
Really?
I'll tell you why. But, a good reason. Was there, and everybody wanted to help. There was no one that wouldn't help. And one of the ones that was there with me at the time was a man who built all the homes in, was it New Jersey? He built towns.
Levittown.
Levittown. Mm-hmm. All right, he was there. Mm-hmm. He was there, and he says, I'll build all the homes for me that you want. And so, and I'm there with them. I'll do whatever you want to open. They had set us down, had a little talk, and you had to understand this. They said to us, look, we know what we need. And it turned out that they did. They said, we know where we need the homes. We know where you can't just build a bunch of homes.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it turned out that they, of course, had these little communities and these garrisons where they gardened and worked with their guns and put their side. They said, you go back home where you were at then. And when we need you, we will call you. But what we need is your financial help now, if you can give it, whatever you can give. And we can use it as we see best. And the reason was this, that they knew that they had to have these little, all out in the deserts out there where they had to farm and watch the guns.
Protect themselves.
Yeah. Every community had its own. Everybody was set up. The children were set up to be taken care of. Everything, and they were right. They weren't wrong. So we all. I turned tail. Guy from Levittown, he turned tail. One day we're all up in the.
Golan.
No, just down the Elmy Ocean there.
Haifa.
And we were all talking to ourselves, you know, they were sent us back home. And we did. We all turned tail and I went back home and they called me once.
But you were disappointed that they weren't ready to go ahead? Is that what disappointed
you? Oh, no, I was disappointed that they wouldn't let me go ahead and help.
Yes, I understand.
They said, you can't help us here anymore. Mm-hmm. You've done your help. Mm-hmm. You've got us this far. Now, we know what we need to help ourselves. And they did. Because they put these little outposts out where they were.
To protect.
And the children were all taken care of.
Yes.
It was like a community.
Oh,
she
yes.
had their own community there. And that's the way it turned out. As a matter of fact, the only other thing that I was able to do for them was, John Keating, how about, do you have the stuff up from China?
Yeah.
I got them to recognize China as a nation.
Really?
In other words, China recognized Israel. Mm-hmm. It was the first one, China, recognized Israel as a nation. And this was something I was able to do.
Oh, really?
Oh, to get
them to recognize Israel.
You can read these letters. Mm-hmm.
Did you help Mr. Buncher for China to recognize Israel or for Israel to accept China?
Israel? No, they recognized Israel as a nation.
Oh.
I got China to recognize Israel as a nation.
I see.
I happened to have made a friend in the embassy. They had sent an embassy into Pittsburgh. We had a new airport and everything, you know.
Right.
And I think the new embassy, there's the Chinese, the picture of them.
Oh,
the
yes.
First one
that.
Up on top.
Right.
See up on top of us.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that was the Chinese when they first came here.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, very nice, but they had other things that were more important. So I made a friend of this one Chinaman over at the embassy who didn't speak a word of English and I didn't speak a word of Chinese, but he had a good interpreter, English, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we, between the two of us, we had a very fine friendship. And, you know, whatever I could do, I would do for them. So anyway, along came an opportunity to be helpful. One day he says to me, oh, after all, I've gone back to Israel several times, and I saw what they had done and how they had taken the desert and made it bloom, blossom, and grow vegetables, even fruit trees and everything. And I, so one day I'm sitting with this Chinaman and he's telling me how bad things were. He says, you know, we have 1 billion Chinese back of Shanghai that are working for a crust of bread a day. There's nothing. They're all deserts. The ground is all worked out and everything, and he's telling me all of this. So this is the one I told you through the interpreter.
Yes.
And I said to him, look, I know what Israel did in
the desert.
In the desert there. And if you would like to send some Chinese delegation to Israel to see how it could be done, how you could do that in your own country, I would put up the money for it.
Oh,
and I did that, and you had letters.
Yes,
four letters.
In June 1992.
That's
my goodness.
And there was a 5-member delegation from China Ministry of Agriculture, headed by Mr. Zhang Hongming, to make a 10-day visit to Israel in September of 92, sponsored by Mr. Jack Buncher.
Isn't that beautiful?
The Buncher Foundation of Pittsburgh.
Isn't that beautiful?
No, do you have an idea of the year that China recognized Israel?
That was, wait a minute.
Those are the letters there.
They tell you they were recognized
Israel.
Let me
show you the one.
Uh-huh. Here, remember.
Four letters.
They'll tell you one.
So
second.
This was in the 1990s.
It
took them a while.
Yes.
I
missed it. It took them a while from 48 to 90 to recognize
Israel.
This
one here says, we believe that these missions were an unqualified success and provided a breakthrough in relations between the Ministry of Agriculture of Israel and China. This one, letter from Dr. Joseph Shalabut at the Israeli Academy of Sciences. At immediate result, the visits have been a much more positive relationship between our liaison office in Beijing and the Foreign Affairs Office of the Ministry of Agriculture. Dr. Shalabut again wrote in June of 1992.
Who is Dr. Shalabut?
Okay, Dr. Shalabut was with the Israel Embassy in Beijing, China.
Ah.
And his last paragraph in here said, indeed, it has been a very satisfying and rewarding experience to be part of the historic event of the establishment of diplomatic relations between China and Israel.
That's beautiful.
China and Israel.
That's beautiful. So they really gave them some help, too, on how to handle their desert areas.
That's exactly
that's
right.
Beautiful.
That's what it was
about. Oh, my. And you really got it started.
That's
a tremendous feat, Mr. Buncher.
Well, I happen to be here.
But you also thought about Israel and what, I mean, it wasn't only your own business. It was their help, their needing, which is very beautiful.
Yeah.
My goodness. Now, have you been to Israel once it became a state?
Oh, sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Went there just to see
what they've done.
In the early years, when you were sending the shipments of dynamite and other supplies, did you work with the other Pittsburghers also that were very active in helping?
No.
To, you didn't, like
no,
Mr. Can or
no.
Kitty Falk or?
No.
No, he did his own.
He did
I,
what
no,
he
I
did.
Didn't, no, I didn't,
uh-huh.
Look, I'm a junk man. I didn't
he did his own thing, yeah,
yes,
which was, it, that was a beautiful
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, this was, I happened to be there, right place, right time. I was able to do it. I was glad to do it.
Did you meet my heroine, Golda Meir?
I met Golda.
You did?
Oh, yes. But very briefly.
Yeah,
I
she
never
came
had
here
any
a couple of times. No.
With,
good.
Never had any.
Right.
Other than
ongoing.
Just casual.
Well,
yeah.
She was very busy.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's true. I did that. No, I was busy with my own thing.
Yes.
And that's what I did. No, and the Chinese thing worked out beautifully.
Yes.
Because they recognized Israel as a nation.
Mm-hmm. Which was most unusual. Yes.
And started doing business with them.
Wow.
And this is when the Israel embassy came into China then, when
that's
they started
it.
To
that's
do
exactly
it. That's
right.
Beautiful.
Excuse me.
Sure.
It started when the Shanghai delegation came to Pittsburgh, to Allegheny County.
That's right.
In the early 90s.
Right.
And how did you get there to meet with them?
I was interested in them coming to the States here.
Uh-huh.
And doing business, trade with them.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to trade with them. And I offered them a space, office space, and I offered them assistance and political assistance. And I did. I got him the commissioner. You see him talking with the...
Yes, I see him up there.
And I made good friends.
And then you went on from there.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
All right, let's go back a little bit. I know that during the United States and the Korean War, that you started this Great Bunker Industrial District. And I wanted to hear a little bit where you moved from selling only scrap to real estate businesses, right?
When was this?
When was the Korean War? In the 60s?
53.
53. Yeah.
Oh, I built an industrial park.
Right.
Oh, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, and you went from selling only scrap to looking at big industrial real estate.
What happened when I got back to the States here, and my brother was with me at the time. And,
what was his name?
Al. And he had been here in Pittsburgh. What had happened? Originally, he left prior to the war breaking out and whatnot. He married a Bachner family of the Bachner family was in the jewelry business in the Jenkins Arcade.
Clark Building, a lot of jewelers.
And he married one of the girls from the Bachner girls, and they moved to Detroit. That's where he got a job working in advertising, neighborhood advertising,
right.
Local newspapers up there. But he wasn't in the scrap business with me at all. But when the war broke out, they shut all of that down in Detroit. And he came back to Pittsburgh. And of course, the mother said, Ma, he's back, you've got to take him in. You've got to find a job for him. You've got a family now, you have two children by then.
Right.
And so you said, okay, all right, and this is how much it's worth now. When he comes in, he's a partner from here on, and that's when we went. And he stayed here in Pittsburgh, and he sort of, while I traveled, I developed an industrial park. The first industrial park. Oh, what had happened was that I came back to Pittsburgh and they're looking for something to do. And the governor was the first governor had shown,
Leader.
He was the first governor to show interest in industrial development, industrial parks. And that was before that shipyard.
That was dated
1948.
This is dated the testimonial dinner, at least on October 15th.
Well, I had that going too. I came back. My brother says, well, what are you going to do? So somebody said to me, well, I don't know who it is, who it was. They had a chap who was the assistant to the governor, and he came to me. He knew I was looking for something to do. And he said, why don't you build an industrial park? And I said, well, what is it? He says, I'll pay your expenses to fly up to Chicago. There was one there. And you can see what an industrial park looks like. And he did. He flew me up at and I saw it, and I came back, and I said, that's what I'm going to do. I went down to Leedsdale, and
that was your first industrial park in Leedsdale?
Well, actually, I started one before that,
oh.
But I never I bought the property, but never got the park built. I was very close with the purchasing people at J&L. They had, I had bought, at the end of the war, I bought 20 acres right where the sewage disposal plant is now. Mm-hmm. And I was going to build an industrial park on that 20 acres right there. But along came my friends over at J&L, and they said to me, we need a place to unload coal. I says, for how long? I said, well, until a strike is over, and because there's going to be a coal strike. The miners are going out on strike, and we have all this coal that we can store, but as soon as the miners go back to work, then the coal miners go back on strike, see? And so we're betwixt and between. So they gave me a job, and I unloaded the coal for them on this 20 acres down there, and then when it came time for the strike to come, sure enough, I loaded the same coal back into the boats, and most of it was used up as they
had. Yes, they needed.
They needed, and so it was very, very helpful to me. And he said to me, he said, Jack, there's only one thing you got to do. I says, well, what's that? He says, you got to sell me that piece of property. I says, I don't want to sell it. That's going to be where my industrial park is. He says, I know what you paid for it. We'll give you $100,000 profit.
Oh, wow.
So I mean, and I says, look, I don't want the profit. I want
the ground.
The ground. It's got all good walls around there and everything. He says to me, Jack, my boss says, you want to do business with us, you got to sell it. We're giving you $100,000 profit and continuing to do business with you. So I said,
you couldn't refuse.
Well, I didn't
right.
want to,
of
but
course.
I did. I sold it. That is where the sewage plant finally went in. And you know, when they sold it, I forget what the heck they got. They got something like $300,000+ for the same site. But anyway, to make a long story short, I'm still doing business with the same.
You are, right.
Same.
Right.
But that's it. All right. So anyway, I went down to Leedsdale and I put the first industrial park in down there. They would have given me the land for nothing. But they had to advertise and sell it. So I bought it. I was the only guy who bid for the land. Nobody
even asked for it.
Wanted. No. So anyway, I wound up buying, I think the first time, I bought 25 acres the first buy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kept buying the rest until I got Oh, I got well over 100 and some acres down
wow.
there, covered with buildings
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And then when then she gave me, this was a testimonial dinner, the Ambridge and...
In thanks for this building of the...
Yes.
Oh, my.
That's
developers, honoring the Buncher Company, Jack G. Buncher, President, Developers of the Buncher Industrial District, Leedsdale, PA. Tendered by Ambridge, Chamber of Commerce, and Leedsdale Lions Club.